conservative.
What I don't like about Washington is they're very nice to your face, and then they take a shiv or a machete and they stab it in your back. I'm a Wall Street guy, and I'm more of a front-stabbing person, and I'd rather tell people directly how I feel about them.
Liberal. Nobody talk about politics, like, don't say anything, you know.
A marriage that's been through it all.
She has filed for divorce over his naked political ambition.
These are the views of a couple in love. A couple with children. A couple with differing opinions and perspectives. A couple that survived.
He's kind of like an impetuous guy. In many ways, that's great. In some ways, it's tough when you're married.
What leads them back to each other? Communication, conversation, and a realistic outlook on the world we live in. Your hosts, Anthony and Deirdre Scaramucci. This is Mooch and the Misses.
Okay. It's the Misses here with the Mooch. Hi, Mooch.
You got a nice smile. You're smiling very nicely today. What's going on? There's like mischievousness.
No, I just had lunch with one of my besties.
Yeah, this is a sign
and
my wife
laugh.
Was like pigging out at lunch. So what did you
I
have?
Didn't
you
had, pig out.
You had like massive desserts or what's going
Not
on?
Not at all. I just am laughing because one of my best friends happens to be Anthony's assistant. So the stuff we talk about and she tells me that I don't know about prior to her telling me is comical and it's funny. Plus, we used to work together, so we just were reminiscing on old stuff.
Introduce Lauren.
But anyway, today we have a special guest on Mooch and the Misses. Her name's Lauren Foster, formerly of Real Housewives of Miami fame. And somehow, the Housewives keep coming back into my life in one way, shape, or form, right? So
I know front stabbing could be your housewife's tagline.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we're front stabbers in our family.
I'm not any stabber.
We're Italians.
Anthony's the front stabber.
I'm a front stabber, but I'm not a first stabber. It's a very big difference.
Oh, okay.
That's a huge difference.
Right? Someone's coming after me.
Absolutely.
No problem. Then I'm going to go right at you.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. We're not going after anybody.
No,
just
but I'm not going to do it behind
willy-nilly.
Your back. If you're coming after me, I got to go right after you. No problem. Very
totally.
Publicly, very forward.
Front stabbing all the way. Yeah.
This is how we begin our podcast. We were talking about Anthony's front stabbing issues, but anyway,
we have front stabbing knives at the Hunt and Fish Club. If you come up to New York, we'll get you a knife.
Oh my goodness!
I'm in New York almost every month.
Oh well, we have
we're going
to
put
see
your name on one of our front stabbing.
We
knives.
Have to meet you.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
We can have a lunch or something with Kathy,
and we could have also actually next time we'll have you in studio.
No, that'd be
yay.
Good.
Right?
That'd be major. Yeah.
So where are you right now?
I'm in my office
in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous.
In Miami Beach. Sunny, gorgeous Miami Beach. It's like the most gorgeous day out right now.
Oh my gosh.
So gorgeous. Yeah.
I'm jealous. It's September in New York, so it's kind of like in between summer and fall. There's really no weather. It's just existence.
I have to say I love this time of year in New York.
Do you?
I really do. I mean, I'll probably be up there at the end of the month at some point. So, yeah.
Well, then it starts becoming fall.
Sweaters.
Yeah.
It's
good for fashion.
The leaves start to change. It's great. I love it.
Yeah. Right now, I'm still just getting over the fact that summer's over and we have winter on the corner.
Did you guys go away?
No, we just spent spent the summer in the Hamptons, which is like an escape, a getaway for us.
Yeah,
and we just hung out there, you know, with our kids.
I go to East Hampton a lot.
Yes.
I love East Hampton.
It's the best. It's a great way to get away from the craziness of the city in the summer. But we're back, so I'm just kind of still getting over the fact that there's school and all those types of like serious things. But
oh Lord, I know.
So life goes on. But anyway, so let's talk about you.
Okay.
What is it like being you? I mean, it has to be interesting. It has to be amazing to be like a trailblazer and a trendsetter
The part of my role as a trailblazer or a role model is that I feel like it's important to have a role model. My community, it's important for my community to have a role model. It's important for the process of change for the entire trans community. So it's my pleasure to play a small role in that, for sure.
I mean, it has to be fulfilling, right? To be able to help
people. It's definitely fulfilling. I do seem to feel like, you know, I don't live at that address, at the trans address. I just live at the female address.
Right.
I'm just a girl.
Right.
You know, and just I sometimes feel like this is a lot of responsibility to throw at somebody like myself, somebody who doesn't really fully embrace that journey. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, if I had my druthers, to be honest with you, I'd just rather just be a woman that just went throughout her life.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
You know,
I get that. Yeah.
And all my friends are basically heterosexual, cisgender people. I have a lot of girlfriends, and I really don't have that many trans friends. And I do have some, which I absolutely love, and I love the whole community. I just have to live at that address. So
I understand that. Yeah, it makes total sense. Yeah, I mean, because it's been basically what you've identified with and what you have felt that you are as a person forever. Right.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, it would be, you know, it would be strange for you to think of yourself any differently. So,
right, totally. You get it.
I definitely
See?
Get it.
Deirdre,
I mean,
you get it.
I do get it. But I also think a lot of people feel the same way you do. I don't think that they think or identify only as trans. I think they think that they were born and they are who they are.
They won't say it, though.
That they,
I'm a friend stabber. I'll say it.
Well, no, the best part about it is the freedom of just being who you are. You know what I mean? And that's what I think you probably inspire people to do and to be and to live their life. Because honestly, like, what's the point in wasting your time not being who you are? That's pretty.
Oh, my God. Life is so short.
It is super short. It is so super short. I know that's so cliche and everything, but it really is. And the older we get, the more we realize it. So Anthony would know. I mean, he's 55.
I was going to tell her I was 81. I was going to tell her I was 81, so she said, wow, he looks great for 81.
Too bad
but
I know your birthday.
You just blew me up.
I've seen your birth certificate.
But I have a question.
Sure.
You know,
the mooch
sure,
or the question?
The mooch always, he's a very curious guy.
No, because I'm sure you're asked this all the time, but I haven't heard it from you, so I'm just curious. So what is the skin product that I use? We had Kate. I'm going to ask about skin in a second. Thank you, Neil. But I was going to say that Caitlyn Jenner,
yes,
who I had the opportunity to interview at one of our conferences, sort of, I don't know what the right expressions are, so forgive me if I'm not using the right language, but she sort of decided to make the transition to who she really is in like the mid-60s. I guess she was 62, 3, or 4. I don't know the exact age.
Yep.
Right.
But if I remember from your story, you came out at age 18.
I came out at like 13.
13. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay,
right,
okay.
But she said she knew since her
first
memories.
But I actually had my surgery when I was 18 years old.
Okay, so
the minute I could legally do it, I did it.
I understand. Okay, so that's my point, I guess. That's where I'm going with this, is that that's very pioneering. It's very courageous. And I'm not saying that Caitlyn isn't. I give her all the props in the world as well. But different people are willing to express their true selves at different times. So what was the ingredients that allowed you to...
I think a lot goes into that. But Lauren, correct me if I'm wrong, but I read a little bit about you and your family life. And I think your parents were supportive of you as a person and had unconditional love available to you.
You're 100% correct. My parents were the most beautiful, amazing people ever. And I would never be this woman if it wasn't for them. They just embraced everything about me, everything about my transition. They welcomed my boyfriends into my life. They let me dress how I wanted. I mean, they bought me makeup. They had my friends over and encouraged us to be who we were. It was a beautiful thing.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm very blessed that way. So,
I think... I wasn't trying to answer the question for you, but I just feel like depending on your background and your family, where you're from, your religion, there's so many different components that go into people's psyche and their lifestyle. And if it's even available to them to be that emotionally available to themselves to live it, you know, some people just aren't backed enough by their family or their whatever it is to be able to come out and be who they want to be. I think family has a lot to do with it.
Family has so much to do with it. Yep. Well, not only this, but any decision that you make. I mean, going to school, where you, I mean, everything.
Any big life decision.
Family life decision. If you have the support of your family, it's amazing.
Yeah. I mean, because then you feel bolstered and you have the courage to do whatever you want to do, like you said, no matter what it is. So,
I mean, I learned how to eat well from my mother. My mother was an amazing chef, and she cooked only healthy food. It was amazing.
You're the second person who's told me that this week. We met somebody the other night who...
You're making me feel bad about the bacon I just had for lunch.
Did you eat bacon?
was on Sammy's Let me just explain to you. My assistant usually orders me lunch. You have to understand, like, I'm a very needy person and I'm, you know, a total diva. So they go to lunch at a beautiful restaurant. And they order
we
me
asked
nothing.
You if you wanted something.
And then I go into the, I'm back at the office. There's like a little bag. It's got Sammy on it. It was a bacon. I mean, she's pregnant. She's eating bacon. I don't know. She had bacon.
She's okay.
Bacon, cheddar cheese, and a chicken cutlet. I just ate it. I've been burping it from like 1 o'clock. Okay?
Yeah, then 2 hours of burping. Lauren's mom wasn't making those for her.
Your mother would not be approving of that.
No, not that.
Or the smell of these burps. Actually, she wouldn't be approving of that.
Oh, that's
either.
Disgusting.
I just thought I'd throw it out there.
No.
Okay, so
literally throw it out there.
Yeah, exactly. So, into the universe, the air.
So I wanna. Uh-huh. Is it okay if I ask a couple more questions? So, what was it?
Totally.
What was it like? What was it like being on the Real Housewives in Miami? Why'd you agree to do the program, and what were your concerns? You know, obviously, Deirdre was rumored to be heading in that direction. They told her they had no interest, and we moved on.
That's not what happened.
That's not exactly what happened.
You know, my friend Herndon Graddick, who was the president of GLAAD at the time, I believe he was having conversations with Andy about having a trans housewife on the show. And I don't think they were quite ready for that then. So they pulled me on as a friend of a friend, which was great. I mean, I loved the experience, and I loved, well, most of the ladies on the show. It was an amazing experience. I mean, anywhere I go in the world now, people know who I am. And it's only from that, really, you know.
So you basically had a positive experience there then.
I had a great experience. The guys from Purveyors of Pop were amazing. I mean, Anna Kinsonis, there were so many amazing moments. Yeah, and amazing. And so much fun filming. 2 seasons, it was really, really fun.
Yeah, I think you probably went about it in the best way because you were brought in, like you said, as a friend of a friend, and there's not as much pressure on you to be whatever you want to be. I don't know what the word is, but
I mean, don't you see all those people that get divorced and
that's what I'm saying. I don't know. It just goes awry, and so yeah, I don't know. So
I couldn't have imagined at the time of shooting, I was dating this boy Corey, and he used to be the boyfriend of one of Marisol's assistants. And I can't imagine if they'd had the television cameras on us all the time in the house. It would have been, I don't know, it would have been crazy. I don't know if I could take that.
I don't know either. I always wonder about
you probably these. You should think very carefully about doing it. I mean, it's a lot.
Well, no, I'm not doing it. Don't worry.
You're not going to do it?
No, it's too much. Well, first of all, I did the interview process, but I decided along the way that if they asked me, I wasn't going to do it. But then they politely did contact me and told me they went in a different direction, and which I totally get, because then once I saw who they were looking at instead of me, I get it, because I'm not, you know, I'm a mom. I have 2 young kids. I'm happily married and I'm probably boring. So, you know, I think they want people who are, I'm not boring
in life.
Didn't
they go with Jill? Didn't they go back with Jill?
Jill Zarin?
Yeah.
Well, no, she's not back. No, actually, no. I saw her recently, and she's doing her own thing. She's got her she's doing like a rug business. She took over some of the fabric stuff her husband used to do, she's doing her own kind of stuff. But she's a very nice woman. I liked her.
She's a nice lady. Yeah.
Yeah. But nope. So anyway, I'm not doing it. But I'm happy that it worked out for you, because a lot of the times people do grow themselves and whatever they're interested or whatever they're you know, vibe is, they can, you know, somehow spin something off of the show and make the best of it. So I'm glad that that worked out for you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It was a very positive experience. And I love Andy. He's great. And I loved all, I just loved it. I thought it was good. It was a good thing.
Okay, good. And what, yeah. Do you have any more questions?
I got tons of questions.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to let him be the question person.
No, go. You're plugged in, baby.
No, go ahead. I need to be plugged in.
But I can't wait to talk about
Lauren,
Donald Trump.
Lauren, have you ever seen a picture of my wife?
Wait, Lauren wants to talk about Donald Trump.
So it's about the orange lunatic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do this.
Well, Lauren, my wife's hot, though, right? I mean, let's talk about my wife.
The wife is super hot.
Don't be rude.
Right, she's
no,
hot,
can
right?
I just tell you guys something? So we had a meeting this morning, and this is something that has also happened to me 3 times in the past 7 days, where I meet somebody and clearly they have Googled me, and they'll be like, oh, yeah, you look a lot better in person. And I'm always thinking to myself, that's nice, but that's sort of like a backhanded comment. No, I know I'm not photogenic, but I'm like trying to think, well, okay, so what does that really mean? You know, is that like
you're
busted online, but you're okay in person? Or I don't know. I think they think they're being nice, but it's weird.
I think so. Well, people, you know, some people don't know.
People are awkward.
You want to talk about the Trumpster, right? Because he, you know the thing about the Trumpster? He wants us to talk about him. Right?
Trump,
you know,
is crazy.
Oh, is that, well, then let's not talk about him.
No. I want to talk about it because
He'll never hear this. Trust me. He's definitely not sitting around listening to our podcast.
He probably listens to every single thing, I'm sure.
No. Trust me. We're in
Well, he does watch a lot of TV.
We're in his melon because there's not a lot of brain up there. So, you know, we're inside the melon there.
Yeah.
You know, the funny part about it is that he was going after my my best friend from law school. Sister is Deborah Messing. And so she's been retweeting my stuff because obviously she can't stand him either. And so that's why he's going after her. You think he cares about his donors in L.A.? This guy doesn't care about anybody. He could care.
No one in L.A. likes him.
No, he's going after her.
So is it any better in L.A.? I mean, L.A. hate, like, we went there for the Golden Globes last year. And this is when Anthony was still on the Trump train. We were literally like lepers at the Golden Globes. So I'm assuming it's probably even worse now, right?
I think so. I mean, I know a lot of people, not a lot, but maybe like a handful of people that are Trump supporters, and no one talks to them. Their social lives are like zero.
Isn't that so crazy? Politics have seeped into every aspect of his life.
Personality.
Well, I think that's just Donald Trump.
Yes, he's become incredibly despicable as a human being.
Is that true? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, no, I know.
He's a shameful person.
I agree. Trust me. I totally agree. I was wondering more if it has anything to do. I know he has a lot to do with it, but I know social media has also spun everyone out of control because we all know what everyone is thinking at all times about every single thing, and we have like absolutely no break from each other as humans. And I think that just doubles down on the angst and all of the anxiety that people have. I think we make it worse. Like, do you like social media, or what's your take on social media?
I like social media to a certain extent. I used to like it a lot more, but now I just find that it's people posturing and I mean, if I see another shirtless selfie of somebody, I'm just going to... I shouldn't say that because I just posted myself coming out of the ocean in a bikini, so I shouldn't be saying that. But, you know, I mean, it was just one post in, like, the last week. It wasn't, like, two a day.
No, in the grand scheme of things, that's way less than most people post, honestly.
I'm almost done with Facebook. Instagram I find interesting, and because it is kind of... I do love Twitter, though. I still love Twitter. Like, if there's something going on, like an election or a catastrophe or a celebrity something, you can always get the dirt on Twitter right easily.
It's an amazing instant gratification news feed.
Instant gratification. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, I agree. That's why I always... So I'm with you. I'm not on Facebook anymore. I kind of got rid of it because it was like... too locally, kind of like, I don't know what the word is. But
I mean, I still have it because I still have all my friends in South Africa and my brothers in Australia. So I keep in contact kind of like that. But, you know.
Yeah. I mean, you have it for people that you actually know. And right. I get that. I have that kind of situation too. But Twitter is like, I feel like if I don't have it, I don't know what's going on in the world. It's kind of addicting.
But at the same time,
it's kind of so negative. Like, just... people just hop on that thing to bash other people like it's their job. And I'm like,
people are nasty.
What is up? But I feel like social media has brought out, I don't know which came first. So are people really that inherently nasty, or is it just now we have a platform and so our true colors are coming out? Like, I don't know. I don't wake up in the morning.
I would like to think that people are nice, but I have a feeling like a lot of them are not.
Right?
And this just gives them the vehicle to be not so nice.
I know. It makes
me worried. And they hide behind it almost, you know?
They do.
Keyboard warriors.
Most of those people don't really say who they are. Or
not front stabbers.
They're not front stabbers at all,
exactly.
Right, Mooch?
No, not at all.
You should give a course on that.
Well, I mean, I'm pretty basic guy. Like, at the end of the day, the imbecile went after my wife on Twitter. I'm loyal to my family.
Really?
Yeah, of course. He's a low life bully.
Oh, my God.
And that's what he does to people. So at the end of the day, look, I could care less about the guy. I mean, I'm loyal to my family. You know, if you're going to go after my wife or one of my kids or my parents, you're going to have a fight with a guy like me. I have no problem with that. So, I mean, the key thing is that we've got to defeat him because he is, I mean, I'm allowed to say this, it's my podcast, but he's batshit crazy. Okay, so we have to defeat him.
Totally.
He's living in the White House by himself. His wife doesn't even live there, apparently.
A love note to Melania.
He's in the silo talking to himself. No advisors. Bolton just left, obviously. Pompeo and Mnuchin are humoring him.
Did he leave today?
Yeah, he left today. And let me just say this to you. There's 100 senators. A normal president, Lauren, there's 100 senators. If a normal president reached into the Senate and asked one of them to be the Secretary of State, they'd be like, 100%, I'm doing that. We got the Secretary of State running for the Senate. He's trying to get as far away from the orange blob as he possibly can, right? So it's just that, you know, everyone is in a free fall.
Well, it's a testament to his personality disorder.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the most prestigious, august jobs in the world, to be the American Secretary of State. And this guy's going to run for the Senate to get away from the lunatic.
Wait, I have a question, Lauren. So do you think this administration has impacted the trans community or the LGBTQ community at all?
I mean, goal of his erratic behavior is to erase the existence of all minorities. I mean, that's kind of shameful.
I just don't know how he grew up in New York, because we're native New Yorkers and our parents are too. And it's like, how do you grow up in New York City and have these world views? I don't understand what rock.
I mean, Hitler grew up in beautiful Germany.
Austria. I know, but
he grew up in Austria. Actually.
Well, you would just believe.
Did he grow up in Austria?
He was Austrian.
He was an Austrian. Okay.
But I don't know. I just can't believe that, you know, we're surrounded by every person, it's very diverse. So it's just odd to think that that could actually be the truth. But I mean, you would feel it and know it if it was.
I mean, I'm just angry that we have a president of the free world who does not validate all minority voices, mm-hmm. all humans within our borders, especially in the trans world, mm-hmm. specifically the trans world. So, I mean, like, who is this man? Why is he? I mean, no good can come of this, definitely.
I know.
Have we talked about enough about him, Mitch?
Like I said,
I want to talk about.
I'm fascinated that we got to this situation, but to me, I was with him. I made a bad hiring decision. I'm not a politician. I'm more of an entrepreneur. Sometimes you make a hiring decision, the person's a disaster, then you got to fire the person. You got to move on. I mean, that's it.
Right.
That's all this is to me. It's not like him, don't like him. Hey, I have no personal relationship with the guy. And as far as I'm concerned, he's just not doing a good job. He doesn't represent the country well. And the first name of our country, Lauren, whatever our differences are, the first name of the country is United. Okay, we have to figure out a way to treat each other like we're part of the same family, even if there's some levels of dysfunction or some levels of disagreement. And we have a patriarchal person at the top that's very, very sick. Just go look through 5 or 6 weeks of his activity. If he was at a publicly traded company or he was running your hospital, whatever he was doing, you'd say, okay, we can't have that guy do that anymore. Take the car keys away. That's my point about the guy.
Well, I have this to say. Ready? I was reading earlier, because we're talking about social media and Facebook, but that there's an app that may have communicated to Facebook about the last time you had sex. So, can you imagine? Do you think that's real?
I'm in good shape then.
Me too.
Really?
I hope you are too. I mean, maybe you don't remember.
Oh my God.
Lauren, I'm saying I'm in good shape, and she's like, really? I mean, I don't know. Maybe we talk about sex at some point. Hey, Lauren, let me just tell you something. Okay, in our sex life, sometimes it's necrophilia, but it works for me. Okay, I just want to make sure you know that.
Well, are you trying to say that there was collusion?
That's hilarious.
And when you have two little kids, I'm tired. You know what I'm saying?
I don't care.
I'm sure.
So
tell me more about this app. I must make sure that I don't have it.
I know, but I mean, I guess, okay, so basically let's go back a few steps, because I actually use this thing where it tracks. I use one of these apps that track my period.
Okay.
And I guess, you know.
And who you sync with.
And what?
And who you sync with.
I mean, I don't I just use it so I know when I'm getting my period.
Well,
but
you're
I,
only syncing with one person.
No, I mean, but I don't put down well, any information
no,
about
no, women. Women's periods sync with each other.
Oh,
stay around
oh,
each other.
Yeah. No. Like
Anthony's like thinking about
I'm like, I'm
syncing
thinking
his
like
parts into things.
Fornication so, and copulation.
God, yeah.
But I mean, I don't
oh
know.
My God.
I'm sorry.
No.
I thought it was sync.
No, so this
like
is just
S-I-N-K.
So I know when I'm going to get it. But okay. The bottom
yeah,
line is
sure.
You can, I guess there's women who share like all their intimate details on the app. Like if they had sex,
wow.
Like if, yeah, whatever. And I don't do that. I just mark down the date. So I suppose
light
people.
A candle.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose people like are snooping on this kind of app and finding out when people are boning and if they use contraception
like,
and all that.
Is this like, I mean, it's kind of like, I mean, if you're on a dating app, which who isn't on a dating app? I mean, you might not be because you're married, but if you're single.
Not currently. Look, now I know Anthony's not listening because I said I'm not currently on a dating app and he didn't even flinch. Okay, go on.
I'm listening, but I'm like somewhat horrified. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to respond.
Okay.
Best effort.
When's the last time
I mean,
you were
this is your show.
But now we're asking, when was the last time you were on a dating app? You could tell me.
Never.
You've never been on a dating app?
You and I started dating before dating apps.
Okay.
Yo, did you have a, wasn't there a little break in your marriage there for a couple of months? She
of
might
course.
Have been on that dating app then.
The only person
app?
I was dating at that point was my newborn. He had a date with my boob every
you had
night.
A newborn. Okay,
yeah.
So you weren't dating. Then.
No, I was not
That's
dating.
Sure.
You
yeah.
don't date when you're pregnant or birthing.
It was a bad moment, Lauren. You're bringing up the bad moments. I mean, come on. I was falling in love with you. Now all of a sudden, you're bringing bad moments.
Oh, you
up.
Don't have. Okay, you don't have to fall in love with me. It's
no,
all good.
No, I'm talking about
okay,
her. I was
so,
being nice to
oh,
Lauren.
Oh, okay.
She's
I was like, what is this? Every day you fall in and out of love with me?
Oh my God! Shut up.
Bizarre.
I love you. I love you.
Okay. So anyway. What were we talking about besides
this dating app?
Okay,
where is this? What is the name of this dating app?
Well, it's
app?
Not really a dating app.
Away.
It's more of a menstruation cycle app. So if you
oh,
don't,
oh, I
yeah.
thought it was a dating app.
No, I mean, I'm sure that that exists also, but I don't think it's gone there yet on dating apps. But what else should we talk about? Let's talk about Variety magazine. So you were honored, right? You were 2019.
I was honored as the first woman of empowerment, especially trans woman of empowerment. By
so that's
Variety
awesomeness.
Magazine. That
no?
was cool. That was awesome. Yeah.
So was it like? Did they have a whole, you know,
oh,
dinner
they had a
ceremony?
Lunch and the whole thing. Yeah,
camp?
like 400 people dinner at the Fountain Blue. It was really cool. It was lovely. I had all my girlfriends there with me, and we had a great day. Yeah, it was amazing.
I mean, it is nice to be recognized for. Things, especially
yeah.
bravery.
No, but
courage.
Now in this day
well,
and age,
also,
positivity.
I think also honoring my work here at UM.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so tell
it.
Us more
all
about
it,
your role at the hospital.
My role at the hospital. Well, there's a whole other side of me, which is my commitment to advocate for my community, which is not, you know, it's not glamorous, it's not housewives, it's a whole different thing. I'm part of the care team here. I also educate and liaise with family members and loved ones that come into the clinic. And there's a whole another part of my role that I enjoy, and that I'm the director of concierge services here as well at UM, which falls under the umbrella of patient experience. So, you know, people want to be known and cared for with compassion and kindness and see a smiling face. And this all falls into the domain of patient experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of love that. I fell into this role and I love it. I love my bosses. I love working here. I have a lot of respect from all the doctors and people that I work with. It's a very, very cool thing. I love my job.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing more scary than being in a hospital environment. So whenever,
oh
I mean,
my
and
God.
I could say that from
nothing.
Personal experience. So when there is somebody that's like a beacon of light in that situation, I mean, there are people that helped me and my family when my dad was sick and all this stuff that I will never forget. And some of them I still keep in touch with because they were literally like a port in the storm, you know, and someone you could rely on to always make you feel better in the worst of times. And just from talking to you and, you know, getting your vibe, you have a warmth about you that I'm sure a lot of people take a lot of comfort in some serious times.
Amen. I totally
it's
see
a great
that, by the
thing.
Way.
Yeah,
it's a
great
blessing.
Thing.
It's a real blessing.
Yeah, it's a total blessing, and I love making people smile and making them feel that they're going to be okay, things like, especially like in the ER, for instance. I mean, I'm down in the ER a lot. I mean, I find it kind of exhilarating because I'm a bit of an adrenaline junkie, but it's people are there. They're scared. They're terrified. If I can walk around and make them feel comfortable and make them feel that everything is going to be okay, then wow, my work's done.
Yeah. And you go home and you feel so good, right?
I feel so good about myself when I go home. And that's a great thing, you know?
I agree. I always say to myself, at some point when our kids are a little bit older, I would love to give back what I got when I was going through some, you know, health issues with my family. And I feel like it's just a fulfilling thing to make people feel better like that. So I'm happy for you.
Yeah,
I
no,
think that you probably
thing.
Love
Thank
it.
Thank you. And, yeah, no, I love it.
It's
I love
awesome.
It.
So one last question I have for you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Miami? I mean, have you lived any? Tell us about your growing up, because you're obviously from South Africa. So do you like living in this country? Do you love Miami?
I love Miami Beach. I'm always on the. I love being in a bikini. I'm always on the beach. I love the weather here. I love the men here. I love the food here. I mean, my apartment literally hangs over the water. So it's very
So you
cool.
found your
I
place, right?
I found my place. And
in
I
more
actually,
ways than one.
My friend Marianne Williamson, who's a dear, dear friend, she actually read my cards one day, like 16 years ago, and she said, you're going to be moving and you'll be surrounded by water. And I'm like, what? This is when I was in New York. And like 2 months later, I moved to Miami.
Isn't that crazy?
I love her, by the way, Marianne Williamson.
I love Marianne. She's a very dear friend of mine.
You can tell she's got a very cool way about her. You ever
yeah.
watch her interviews
she's a cool
anything?
Lady.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So also I want to ask you just to a little bit, tell us before we let you go about your website and justanothergirl.org. So everyone knows how to find you.
It's basically kind of like a nice way for anybody, and it's PG rated, so anybody, a child can go on there. And I also have my Facebook page, which is also Just Another Girl on Facebook. And it basically just chronicles the life of a trans person from A to Z, from when we first start taking hormones and what it's like. And I interject my own life into there because I want to make it look... I'm all about normalizing this experience, for sure. You know, I don't want anybody to look at me differently.
Right.
I don't want anybody to look at me like I'm a science experiment or something like that.
No,
I want I want anybody to look at me and go, oh, there's that girl that works in patient experience, or there's that girl that was on the beach last weekend, or, you know, something
right.
like that.
That's how it should be.
Yeah.
Right. So this is basically a resource for anybody and everybody.
For anybody who's trans or trans identifying.
Okay. That's a good thing to know. These are the kinds of things
Thanks
we need.
Well,
of course,
cool.
because I think these are the kinds of things that people need. Because a lot of people are afraid to ask questions, and resources like this are priceless. And I think we also need a lot of positivity and backing each other up and just supporting each other in whatever, you know, facet of life it is. I think it's always good to know that there's people who are out there that want to help other people.
Yeah,
and that's what you're
young
doing.
Kids.
Yeah,
especially young kids. I love when I help young kids and they smile and they're happy, and you know, I mean, that's the reward for me.
And by the way, those are the people that forever remember those experiences, and they actually take something away from it. So kids are special.
Yeah, they're the future.
They are, and they're special.
You
they
know?
Really are. So I just want to thank you for
this
all
has
your
been
work.
So much fun.
And
well,
I'm glad we
come
got
down to Miami and hang out with you, even though you didn't invite us.
No, sure. Next time I'm in New York, I'll call Neil and I'm going to be in town.
Get a meal or a coffee or a drink or whatever. But
totally.
Definitely look us up, and we'll do the same one when we're in Miami.
I will for sure. Thanks, Deirdre.
Thank you
Thanks,
for being
Mitch.
On.
Hey, great
Thanks
to be on. Hey, thank you for everything.
Have a
great
week.
Thanks. You too, guys.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye.